You are listening to the Retirement Wisdom Podcast, focusing on the changing nature of retirement today and the non-financial aspects of a successful retirement transition. Join host Joe Casey and learn from leading experts in the field and the stories of people who created interesting second acts as they share practical ideas and tips to create your own. Check out our website at retirementwisdom.com, where you can download our newsletter and other resources to learn more about how coaching can help you. The best way to support this podcast is to head over to Apple Podcasts and post a rating and a comment. It's easy and it's free. Join our conversations and get wiser about your retirement.
Welcome to today's episode of the Retirement Wisdom Podcast. Our guest today is BJ Fogg. BJ Fogg, PhD, founded the Behavior Design Lab at Stanford University. In addition to his research, he teaches industry innovators how human behavior really works. He created the Tiny Habits Academy to help people around the world. He lives in Northern California and Maui. Find out more at bjfogg.com and visit tinyhabits.com to learn about his upcoming book, Tiny Habits, The Small Changes That Change Everything. So BJ, thanks so much for joining us.
Joe, thank you for inviting me.
My first question is really, what's behavior design and how did you become interested in it?
Well, behavior design is the phrase that at Stanford University we came up with to describe a new set of models about human behavior and how to design for it. And so behavior design is a pretty straightforward way of understanding what causes behavior and how you can change it, including habits. And that's really what Tiny Habits is all about. I map out, here's this thing called behavior design.
And you've invested over 20 years researching habit formation. Human behavior is obviously very complex. But your new book, Tiny Habits, lays it out in a very accessible and practical way. How would you explain the Fogg behavior model?
Well, the behavior model in some ways is the fundamental model of behavior design. And it came together for me in 2007. And this model, and it's really easy to understand, applies to all types of behaviors and all habits. It basically has three elements. There's motivation to do behavior, the ability to do the behavior, and a prompt. And so any behavior will have motivation, ability, and a prompt. And this is what we discovered in research at Stanford and in industry work. And if you make a small tweak to any one of those elements, you can change a behavior. So for example, if you want to stop a habit, if you can remove the motivation, boom, it will stop. If you can't do that, can you remove ability, make it harder to do? You can stop it. Or can you remove the prompt? And you can also use the model for one-time behaviors, for creating habits and so on. So it's this really pretty straightforward, I think elegant model that you can apply in a whole bunch of ways.
And one thing I notice is when we try to change our behavior, we often lean on motivation. So I'll psych myself up. Or willpower, I'll just gut it out. Why are motivation and willpower problematic?
Yeah, and you know, as you know, that's a big part of Tiny Habits to say, look, people, stop trying to rely on willpower to change. And guess what? Motivation is unreliable. Motivation shifts all the time. Like right now, it's just before lunch for me, or actually it's a little bit after lunchtime. But in an hour or maybe 2 hours after I've eaten, my motivation to eat will go down. So motivation is not a stable thing in our lives, and willpower can get tapped out. So motivation is just one component of the behavior model. So in Tiny Habits, it's about how do you make the behavior really easy to do? That's the ability factor. So you don't have to rely on motivation. And then what's going to prompt your behavior? So instead of obsessing with motivation or willpower, there's a better way to do it that's been road tested with over 40,000 people of making things really, really simple and tiny. And that's why it's called Tiny Habits.
And I should mention, I'm one of the 40,000. I went through it twice. It was great to go through it twice and learned a lot the second time. And it's very effective. And I've been using it personally since 2014. Gets great results.
Good. That's terrific. You know, and Joe, there are people that go through the free 5-day program multiple times. And you do learn other things as you go through it because it's a process of learning these change skills. And just like learning any other thing, playing tennis, golf, public speaking, coding software, you will learn different things at different points.
And what I learned the second time was how important it is to be specific about the behavior and specific about the anchors. So the one I came up with, one of the recipes I came up with the second time was gratitude. After I get dressed in the morning, I will think of three things that I should be grateful for, that I'm grateful for. And then I learned there's a lot of steps in getting dressed. So I finally got it specific to when my right shoe is on, then I do it, and that changed everything. So we all have aspirations and outcomes that we want. How does the Tiny Habits method help people create new behaviors and move toward those?
Yeah, so with Tiny Habits, essentially, with this method, you can wire new habits into your life really fast, and it's easy. But those open the door to making bigger changes. In my research, over 70% of people who do Tiny Habits, within the five-day window, they start doing other new habits naturally. So there's this ripple effect. And about 20% of people who do Tiny Habits do something big. So the tiny changes, the feeling of success for making these tiny changes opens the door for people to do something they might have been afraid to do previously. So you get one, the habits ripple out. The habits will affect other aspects of your life. And the third one I didn't talk about is the habit will grow. You know, if you start with just two push-ups, it can grow over time. But you start it small, just like a plant. You know, you don't start like a huge palm tree. You can, but that takes a lot of care and feeding. And that's when you start tapping into willpower and motivation. There's a better way. You start it really tiny and find the right spot for it.
So important. I can endorse the push-ups. I started with one and I do 50 a day without fail. So it's a great habit. So thank you. Thank you for that. So I'm curious to get your opinion on what emotions have to do with habits.
Like almost everything. You know, the common thing that you hear is like repetition, and repetition is what creates habits. But that's not actually accurate. When you look at the studies that people cite when they're saying that, the study does not show that repetition causes habits. It shows that it correlates with habits. So they're mixing up correlation and causation. So what causes the habit to form? It's the emotion you feel when you do that behavior or immediately after. And the specific emotion in Tiny Habits that I advocate and teach people to feel is the feeling of success. So let's take your case, Joe. So let's say when you're first starting your push-up habit, if you do one or two push-ups or whatever you started with, and you allow yourself to feel successful, and there's ways to do that I discussed, but sticking with emotions here, if you feel successful in doing that, then the habit of doing push-ups will start. It actually, that emotion rewires your brain. So your brain actually changes. It's the sheathing along the neurons that the emotions will trigger a sequence of things that actually changes your brain and wires that habit in. So really, emotions are the key to habit formation.
I think that's one of the biggest things I also learned, not only going through it twice, but through the coach certification program, really is so powerful and such an important part of things. It really drives the change. You can see it.
Well, it's a game changer for people. I mean, if you assume that a repetition is the thing that creates habits, and whether you think it's 21 days or 66 days or, you know, whatever, you know, people are saying a number of things, then habit change becomes a matter of endurance and slogging it out until the habit magically forms. Now, that's the wrong way to think about it. And it makes behavior change a painful process, which people might procrastinate because it's like, oh, man, I'm not ready to put up with the suffering. Whereas if you understand that emotions create habits, these positive emotions create habits, then it's like a whole different experience. And that's what really works, is you get good at feeling good about your behavior and about yourself. And it's an uplifting thing. And that ripples out to other parts of your life.
And people often don't associate change with fun, but I can tell you, it really makes it fun. It does.
There is something about it. You know, when people first, in the research I was doing on this and sharing Tiny Habits, I was probably a few thousand people in, you know, coaching people individually through email. I think that's what we did. And when people write back and say, wow, this is actually fun. I never knew this was fun. Am I crazy that this is fun? And it's like, no, there is something fun about it. Not like riding a roller coaster or watching a funny movie. But I think, well, I'll make a guess and you make a guess. I think the fun comes from this sense of discovery and playfulness that the Tiny Habits promotes. And I think that can feel like fun. What do you think?
I think there's a lot about progress and momentum. that's what I experienced with it. The sense of you're building some of them grow, as you note in the book, and some are one time. But the ones that grow, you really see it and you feel it. And then the celebration adds a real exclamation point on it.
Great. Yep. Right on.
So in reading the book, and great book, by the way, very in-depth and very, very clear. One thing that stands out about tiny habits is how many types of habits that it can be used for. Brain health, caregiving, weight loss, wellness, fitness, time management are some of the things that were cited in the book. But in the book, you make the point that it's really about learning a valuable skill set that can be applied to really change any behavior. And you highlight a set of behaviors that you call golden behaviors. And how do you identify those? It sounds like something I would want.
Yeah. So one of the skills in habit change is to figure out what's the right habit for you to be working on. Now, often people just, you know, they see a TED talk and they think, oh, I should be meditating or I should be, you know, drinking pomegranate juice or something like that. And they're just guessing. There's a systematic way to figure out what is the best new habit or set of habits for you. And I talk about the tiny habits. The headline, though, is this. A golden behavior, that's the term I give, a good habit, the right habit for you, has three characteristics. One, it will be effective in helping you reach your outcome. So let's say if you want to reduce stress in your life, well, sure, the habit that you're working on needs to actually reduce stress, not create more. And this is a problem sometimes with meditation, is people just feel more unsettled because it's so hard. Whereas playing with your dog or gardening might be a better first step toward calming your life. Number two, a golden behavior will be something that you can do. It'll be easy enough to do. So don't pick hard stuff. It's very, very difficult to wire in difficult behaviors as habits. And then number three, it should be a behavior that you want to do. So let's say gardening to reduce stress is something that would be effective and you can do it, but you don't want to do it because you hate like working in the garden. That would not be a golden behavior. But maybe playing with your dog for 10 minutes as soon as you get home from work is a better golden behavior. So you're really looking at the optimal combination of those three things. And going back to your question about the skill, Joe, that's a really important skill, is knowing what is the right habit or the best habit or the golden behavior for me to reach this aspiration of reducing stress or connecting better with my grandkids or feeling financially secure or losing weight or whatever the aspiration is. So don't guess. There's a process that you can follow.
So one of the other things I've learned about your work is that a new behavior can start tiny, but it can be transformational. And I'm wondering if you could please share with our listeners a couple of examples, maybe one from some of your students that have done in industry, and maybe one from a personal habiteer.
Yeah, we'll start with one of my students. So I won't give his name. I'll call him Carlos because I don't have his permission to actually use his name. In my class at Stanford this year, I taught behavior design, and we were applying it to the problem of reducing screen time. So we created this tool to help people reduce screen time, but that's not what transformed him. As he learned the methods of behavior design that I describe in Tiny Habits, he, within about 3 weeks, came back to me and said, oh my gosh, BJ, this has transformed my life. Now, I was happy to hear that, but I'm not like a therapist or counselor, so I didn't sit him down and go, okay, Carlos, tell me what's going on here, because that's not really my role. But my sense, Joe, was this, his ability to explore different behaviors that would help him study more or to interact better socially, and then match himself with golden behaviors, there's a process for that. And I think by having that process, he was able to pinpoint exactly the golden behavior and then get the outcome he wanted. And that was transformative to him. And it gave him a sense of having a superpower. I mean, it's not magic, but following these steps, it's like, oh my gosh, now I know exactly what to do and I can do it and I want to, and it's going to be effective. And there it is. In more of an industry setting, this is not industry. I also teach people who are designing products and services, some of them that you use that I can't name by name, but let's say a habit here. One woman who really transformed her life, I'll give a personal one. This is my sister, Linda. And she just shared this with me recently. So her husband had early onset Alzheimer's, finally, after many years, had to be put in a facility. And when she visited the facility, Joe, it was really a downer for her. Even though the facility was wonderful, she was just, it's hard to go in and see her husband who really can't talk, really can't do much anymore. And she created a new habit using the Tiny Habits method that after she got in her car, after visiting him at the facility, before she left the parking lot. So the recipe went like this. After I sit in my car, I will give a prayer of thanks to the people who are caring for Brent, my husband. And as she tells me, that shift, that very, very simple habit she created changed how she thought about the situation. It gave her a lot more gratitude. It uplifted her. So then on the way home, she wasn't like dark and sad, as sad. It really helped her see things in a different way. And it was just transformative. Otherwise, those days she would dread, you know, those visits to her husband she would dread, and it would just put her on a bad path the rest of the day.
It was great to have the opportunity to work with her in the coach certification training. She does a great job. And her stories really changed how I saw Tiny Habits. It really gave me a window into how impactful this can really be. So thank you for sharing that.
You know, people have really tough lives. I mean, I'm a huge optimist, you know that. And the book is, it's an uplifting, and you know, that's just kind of my tone, optimism. But I do know that people have these huge challenges in their lives. And Linda has faced so many things. And what I know is that Tiny Habits, even these things, I mean, did we share with you the study we did on reducing the stress of nurses in the research hospital? Yeah. Okay. So, you know, I knew Tiny Habits would help them reduce their stress. I knew that because I'd done enough research. But what I didn't understand until I did this research in the hospital was that for stressed out people like these nurses and people working in the emergency departments, the only ways they could change were in tiny ways. They could not make big changes because they lacked the energy, they lacked the time, they were tapped out. And so the only method that could work for them would be something like Tiny Habits. Now, as I saw that, and then I looked at the reality of what's going on in our country and our world, it's like, wow, we're busier, we're more stressed out, we're more fearful, Tiny Habits is a way to help people in that situation take steps and actually experience success, which then, as you know, opens the door to more things like that.
And you mentioned in the book the metaphor of a garden. And how can people, because a lot of our audience are people who are looking at some transition into the next phase of life. How can the garden metaphor be useful?
Yeah. So here's how to think about your collection of habits. Think of a garden. Maybe it's an acre big. You know, you have this garden and you can do anything you want with it. If you don't design it and tend to it, guess what's going to happen? These weeds will grow up. Those are like bad habits. Okay. So think of a habit like a plant. Now you can design, well, what do you want here in your life? And what do you want over in this corner? And you can deliberately design your garden. In other words, deliberately design the habits you want in your life. And those habits, if you put them in the right spot, you know, some habits are better in the morning, some habits are great in the afternoon, and so on. Find the right spot for those habits. Start them small, find the right spots, and then nurture them. And you nurture them through emotion, through positive, through feeling successful. And then when something in your garden no longer pleases you, or it's run its course, and you've seen that in gardens, the flowers, your annuals, they're done. That's fine. There's no failure in that. Just remove that and plant something else. So I really think it's helpful to think of your set of habits as plants that you are designing and nurturing, and you're evolving it over time. Just like you don't want the exact same garden over time. Your tastes change, your needs change. And so just evolve your set of habits over time, just like you would a garden. And there's no shame or anything bad about a habit not working out in that spot. Just like in my own garden, there's a certain plant that I had in a spot that was not thriving. So I moved it to a different spot and bam, it took off. And there's no problem with saying, hey, I'm done with this habit. I want something else here. And that's a good thing to do. And so think of it as your life and what you're doing on a daily basis is something that you're cultivating and exploring. And you're evolving over time because your life evolves over time and your needs evolve.
I love that. Thinking of it as a collection of habits and managing that collection. So I have a very quick personal story and a question for you. So long ago, talking mid-70s, when I was a high school basketball player with long hair, a lot longer and more hair than I have now, at a summer camp, I was walking to the cafeteria one morning at 6 a.m. and encountered a NBA Hall of Famer alone on the court practicing. So I asked him, why did you learn to shoot so well? So he demonstrated it by starting tiny. Actually, he was a foot away from the hoop, made 10 shots, took a step back. He made 100 in a row. So that made an impression on me. But this opportunity to talk with you really feels like one of those moments as well. And I want to ask you, would you be willing to share with us how you're using tiny habits today personally, and what are you working on now?
Yeah, great. You know what you found, Joe, and other people will find is as you use tiny habits and as you learn these skills of change, it gets easier and easier to change your life. And something that seems really hard, like making the three-pointer or even the half-court shot, then becomes actually doable, but you don't start there. And so, of course, I've practiced tiny habits. I practice the skills of change a lot. And I love doing it. It's playful. It's fun. I don't take myself too seriously. Right now, what am I working on? Well, one thing I have been working on is every morning I get up really early. It's not like I try. I just wake up and I'm eager to start my day. And so I go out into the living room in the dark and I get out a musical instrument. It happens to be a tenor recorder, like a big recorder. And I play it every morning as a habit. That for me, Joe, is a kind of meditation because I'm breathing, controlling my breathing, but also the production of music, playing music is really, really just a great habit. Now, I don't have to do much of it, you know, as my habit, but I end up doing 10, 20, 30 minutes in the morning playing an instrument. And what's happened, and then I'll give some other examples here. What's happened is I've now become, like, I'll tell my unfortunate listening device in my home to play, say, Christmas songs. I don't want to say that name. And then I'll play along with the Christmas song. So over time, just doing this over time and having the habit of practicing, I can just pick up, there's the note, I play with it, I improv on it, and it's so, so, so gratifying for me. And it's just for me. It's not like I'm going to go and, you know, panhandle and make money playing the recorder, which is like the most hated instrument, I think. Next, last week, I decided I wanted to start creating the habit of going out and sitting in the hot tub before the sun came up, look at the stars and watch the falling stars. And what happened, Joe, was the first morning I went out and sat in it, immediately, as soon as I got in the hot tub, I saw a falling star, which you can guess the effect of. So in tiny habits, in the method, you deliberately make sure you feel successful. Well, in this case, the heavens are saying, bam, here you are in the hot tub, and here's a star. So going out and just sitting in the hot tub in the dark and just, I like quiet and I like being in nature. So that would be another one. And the third one, these are going to sound so odd, but I just really want to be able to put my palms on the ground, not just touch my toes, but all the way flat palms, which I could do as a teenager, but I'm getting closer. So there is a moment after I get out of the shower and my hair is wet where I lean over. So after I lean over and like kind of dry my hair, I will stay there and I'll work on my hamstring stretches and that thing. So they're kind of weird habits, but they're meaningful to me.
Oh, and fun. You can tell. Very, very enjoyable, which is great. I know we're running out of time, but I was wondering if I could ask you one impromptu question. If I could. So I was struck by a habit you had in the book because I think it really captures a lot of elements of the method, the super fridge. Could you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, so super fridge is the name we've given to our fridge. And we started this about, I want to say 7 years ago, where we redesigned the fridge. So everything in the fridge was healthy food. There'd be nothing that went into the fridge that would be off our game plan. And it was easy to access. So like the celery was washed and cut, the broccoli was ready to steam, the boiled eggs were there ready to go. And by redesigning the fridge environment, it made it really easy to eat healthier. And it also meant that we didn't have to tap into willpower, like, oh, there's the very, very tempting, you know, chocolate cake. I better not do it. So there's no temptation. So it means you could just open up the fridge, you know, and I explain this in Tiny Habits. And it's kind of an odd example because in the book, I don't prescribe many habits. I tell you how to create any habit that you want. You pick. But in this case, I felt this was important enough to say, hey, think about designing a super fridge. Here's how you do it. And guess what? Then you open the fridge and you can eat anything you want in it as much as you want. There's this great feeling that happens where you open the fridge and it's like, I can have anything in here that I want. And guess what happens? It's not like you like binge on everything. It's like, okay, I'll have this now. And if I'm hungry, I'll come back and get something else. It just changes maybe your relationship with food. I haven't studied that, but it certainly changed for us the role of the fridge in our lives. The fridge wasn't a device to keep things cold. The fridge's job was to help us eat healthy and on our game plan. And so the fridge became this different kind of thing. And I love Super Fridge. So it does require like once a week, you refresh it. You know, I have a once a week habit where I clean things out and then you refresh it. And that takes a little effort. So that's not tiny, but then that pays off throughout the week.
Now, thanks for sharing that because it really got my attention. Very visual, and you can see the impact. Great stuff. And I can only imagine the celebration when you saw that falling star.
That was just odd. It was like, really? That just happened? You know, because I'm not like that kind of person. It's like, oh, there was a sign from heaven. You know, I'm a scientist. But it was like, okay, I just know what my emotional reaction was in that moment. So therefore, I know this habit's going to wire in really fast because I just had an emotional reaction to the star. There we go. I'm going to be out here in the hot tub in the mornings. And great, you know, it's a nice habit. Now, when the time comes, Joe, where it no longer serves me, I'll let that habit go, right? So it's not like I'm going to be doing that. Maybe I'll do it for the rest of my life, but I don't have to. There'll be a time when I'm like, no, that's run its course. I've gotten what I needed to out of that. I'm going to uproot that one and, you know, do something else.
Manage the collection.
Yeah, exactly.
So BJ, if someone listening wants to create new habits this year, what advice would you offer them?
Well, first of all, understand it's easier than you think to create these habits and to change your life. And, you know, Tiny Habits, the book, has all the information exactly how to do that. But just pick habits you want, number one. You know, don't pick the shoulds or things that you feel like you must do. Pick things that you want to do. And then next, pare it back. So it's really simple, like even tinier than you think it needs to be. So say you want to floss your teeth. Just pick one tooth. Yeah, you can do more if you want, but just set the bar at one tooth and then find where it fits in your life. So this is a exploratory thing. Just like, hey, I bought this new flower. Where am I going to plant it in my garden? Well, that's where the design comes in. Like, where does this fit naturally? And your first attempt may not work. You may think, oh, this fits really great. You know, as soon as I start my morning coffee, that's when I'm going to do this new habit of two push-ups. And you may find it doesn't fit there. So look for a different spot. And then when you do that new behavior, no matter how tiny, allow yourself to feel good about it. Allow that emotion. Turn up the volume on that feeling of success. And that's how you wire it in. So that would be my advice. And there's no reason to delay. Start now.
And BJ, we're going to have a link to where people can get the book in the show notes, but how can people learn more about you and follow your work going forward?
Well, the best resource now, and I'm so happy that it's all pulled together, is the book Tiny Habits. So that's the best resource. Online, there's more at tinyhabits.com. And for more, I guess, about me, if you want to know more about me, vjfogg.com. So those would be the resources there.
Great. And we'll have links in the show notes to all those. BJ, thanks so much for joining us. And I know it's going to be very helpful to a lot of people.
Joe, thanks so much.
Thank you. We really appreciate BJ Fogg taking the time out for a great conversation on tiny habits and his research. And I want to share my take with it. First of all, I've used his method personally since 2014. I've been through his 5-day email program twice, once then, and most recently in becoming certified as a coach to be able to use his tools. And my take on it is that, first of all, it starts with recognizing that so much of our behavior is actually habitual. There's one study I read, Duke and USC professors that took a look at it and found that 45% of our behavior is actually habitual. Think about that. That's a lot. Second point is that the neuroscientists have discovered a concept called automaticity, which means our brains are wired to find the easiest path, things that are going to conserve energy, and shortcuts that are going to make things more automatic. So what I've noticed about BJ Fogg's work is that he's figured out how to leverage those principles to our advantage by being intentional, focusing on things that we want to do, and finding ways to make them as easy as possible. And I think that's very, very powerful and very, very exciting. And I can tell you from personal experience, it gets results. So what can you do with this? There's three things I'd highlight. First, I've read the advanced copy of the book. The book is great. It's jam-packed with information. A lot of it's very practical and accessible, things you can use right away, and it'll make a big difference. One thing I learned in the certification program from a coaching point of view is how big this impact can be. When I first did it, I thought it was tiny and use it that way, but this really can have big changes. So the book is out and would be great to read, in my opinion. Highly recommend. Second is to look into his 5-day free email program. It takes you through the 3-step tiny habit recipes. You get online immediate coaching involved in that as well. And you'll learn how it works and you'll see something. He'll ask you to do 3 recipes, 3 behaviors that you want to change and get started with it. You'll learn a ton. Also recommend. And then the third way is to think about using a coach. He's got a number of them, including myself, that are certified to use his tools. I think that if you're looking at aspirations that you have or outcomes that you're looking to go, that's worth considering, because then the coach is trained to be able to use some of his other tools, which are in the book, besides Tiny Habits, that complement Tiny Habits, to help you get there. So I think about those 3 things. Highly recommend the book. Definitely recommend the 5-day free email program, and consider getting a coach if you've got some aspirations and outcomes that you're seeking to go. Again, thank you for listening, and hopefully this is helpful information to you.
Thank you for joining us today on the Retirement Wisdom Podcast. You can listen to all episodes of our podcast by subscribing to them on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and Stitcher, or on our website at retirementwisdom.com.